8:45, we'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I've already talked to the sheriff on... We're going to move the sheriff's items to the back and try to keep all the highway and road and bridge agendas together. So, Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle is here. He just stepped out of the room. Byers and Setzer. First thing on is the consent agenda, general agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held February 8th. Approve all claims through February 22nd in the amount of $450,338.02. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve caretakers for the Pioneer Cemeteries of Gage County for the 2012 season. And that is it.
I'd make a motion to approve the consent agendas presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
I would like to have the claims pulled up to be considered separately, as there's a claim for Setzer's Manufacturing on there.
You want all the claims or just that one claim?
Just the one is fine.
Okay. All but the one claim. Comfortable with the
yes.
motion and
yes.
comfortable with the second? Okay. Vote. 7-0 to approve, oh, Gary. There you go. Okay, and now the last... claim for Setzer's, which was how much?
I'd make a motion to approve the claim to Setzer's Manufacturing for
$125.
I know it came across in the claims it was separate.
Okay.
So.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. In favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer, abstaining for the reason stated. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Approve or disapprove county aid grant award and cash report request and authorizing chairman to sign request.
Christine.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Is there anything or about it, or do you just want to sign it?
We have to have a motion to discuss it.
Yeah, we got to have a motion to discuss it.
You can explain to them. This is a different process.
Okay. What happened was this is the grant that was awarded to us last July. There have been about 3 changeovers in staff at the Crime Commission since last July, and so we are just now getting through the process of actually getting our money and being doing the final signatures, and so that's what this is. I can tell you that this is for the juvenile diversion and community service. Right now we have 26 active juveniles. Throughout last year we've had 31 releases. Only 4 of those were unsuccessful. Out of that, they completed about a little over 1,000 hours of community service for that whole group. I have some numbers, and Roger and I are going to work on an MOU, but I have some adult numbers, too, and we'll get back to you on that. But this is specifically for juveniles.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, matching comes from? Matching funds come from?
Matching funds are an in-kind, and so those come from county money that the county already spends in housing juveniles in detention or guardian ad litem fees or Gus's transportation fees, things like that.
Christine, we discussed this is what we've budgeted already. And
correct.
Process now that they have to do to actually get the money allocated to them to put in.
Any other questions?
Okay. We have our motions. Any more discussion? But 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Let's see. I guess approve or disapprove recommendation on special designated liquor license for VIP Lounge Inc. for event held at the Homestead National Monument Educational Center on March 30th, 2012.
Make a motion to approve the recommendation.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
What? This is for at the homestead, and it's a special event. Is it for the public, or is it a private event?
Dusty, you know.
Kathy, it was something to do with a historical event, and I thought she said they were going to give me an invite. I was thinking she told me that.
University of Nebraska Lincoln Historical Event is what it says. And they have speakers of the on the Great Plains.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to vote against it because I don't believe that alcohol at places such as the homestead or our parks are appropriate, so I will vote against it.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Does Gus, do you know more about this, or what's...
No, my only concern is, when I look at them, is that legally they're getting things squared around. It should be, and that I know about it. It's just mm-hmm. received my office, so we keep
on. And your letter states you do not oppose it.
I have no opposition to it. Okay. As far as they're running it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Matt? The action that we take here, they still have to send this to Liquor Commission.
Absolutely.
Correct.
So this is...
Yeah.
Correct. With all the...
Liquor Commission.
Yeah.
And actually, the application is by the VIP lounge, correct?
Correct.
And not by the homestead.
Correct.
It's by the VIP to do
correct.
This. Okay.
Right.
I'm agreeing with Kathy. Thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle. Abstaining is Byers. Against is Byers, and against is Setzer. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the NDOR for the 2012 fracture critical bridge inspections.
Make a motion to approve the agreement.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Mark, you want to give us a little background on it?
Good morning. Several of your items today, I'd like to have a couple minutes to give you guys some background on what's going on. I asked Galen to hold...
Name and address for the
Mark
record,
Minnelli.
Since it's all recorded.
You bet. Mark Minnelli, Minnelli Wagner and Associates, 6920 Van Dorn, Lincoln.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. The fracture critical bridge inspection contracts that you have, you've had them for about 2 months now. The original contracts... that we've had the last two cycles. These are the bridges that are fracture critical. That means they meet the criteria that if one member fails, the bridge goes down, i.e. our trusses and two beam systems. And the Department of Roads has decided that they're going to control those inspections for a while. There's five consultants that do those inspections throughout the state. Minnelli Wagner is one of them. And by interlocal agreement, we allow them, we being the county, allow them to get on our right-of-way and do those inspections. Historically, they would be 80% federal funded, 20% would be local funded, of which we got to use our soft match credits for. This contract came out, and there was a one-liner in there that said soft match credits would not be allowed. I told all the counties that I work with, don't sign the agreement until we get a chance to work this out. The soft match program is on... pause at the Department of Roads, Federal Highway, while they do audits or whatever they're doing. So anyway, through some politicking, through Federal Highway, Department of Roads, the County Highway Superintendents Association, and a lot of push from Hall County, the Department of Roads has said that we now can use our soft match credits for our match for this contract. So they're like the ones you've approved previously.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution on signing of an engineering service agreement for fracture critical bridge inspections.
Okay, that's 12-04.
12-04.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Can we? Where's that agreement? Do we have that agreement?
There should be a copy of the resolution in your packet.
In that.
Oh,
that's just a resolution.
This is the one in six.
No, there should be another.
that you can pass this down, but there should be a couple of resolutions.
First one should be a resolution authorizing the board chair to sign the second one.
Roger's seen him and approved him.
He is right.
Oh, they're passing it around.
The one we have is just for the 1-6.
Wait a minute, my grabby sent you the wrong one. I think that's the supplemental. Pass down, I think, the wrong one.
I'm just always looking for.
Sorry.
For the dollar?
Yeah.
I knew what he was looking for.
Just so we know.
The dollars? That was on the cover sheet for our.
Just state it. That's fine.
Bridge inspections, your county is estimated to be $60,470.80 upon execution of the agreement. Your county will be billed 20% of the cost, $12,094.16. Any more discussion?
Which we can use the soft match for now.
Correct.
Thank you. So that basically that says that we have dollars laying up there that we have built up, and we can.
If we in previous years, which we should have written a letter saying that any time that there's federal fund match, use our soft match. And years ago, I know you passed a resolution sent down to the roads department to use up any money whenever it's eligible. So that's on record down there, so they should take that out of there. If you get a bill from them for that amount, don't pay it. Table it, and we'll go chase it. But
okay, good.
Yeah, because that's okay.
Good information.
So basically, in this year, this doesn't cost the county anything because of the fact that we have the soft match laying up there and they've agreed to use that. That's my point. Yeah.
Yeah, the point is we've already invested in the program, and we're using those credits that are on the book down at the roads department. And we'll talk a little bit more about the soft match when we bring it through the 1-6 and the 3 federal aid jobs we got.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, any more questions? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove supplemental agreement between Gage County, Nebraska, referred to as local public agency, and the state of Nebraska Department of Roads. Need a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Mark, what is that exactly?
Can I take a peek at that one real quick?
This one right there.
Oh, that one. Okay.
This? What these are, you have, Gage County has 3 federal aid projects in the mill. When the projects were originally programmed, we would have requested state aid bridge funds from the Board of Classifications and Standards. They can pay up to 50% of a project. Historically, they paid 10%, and then it went to 5%. What this agreement is now, since there's not a lot of federal aid jobs going on, that pool's getting bigger, the state's raising it from 5 to 10%. So basically what you're requesting is 10% state aid bridge funds, 80% federal, 10% local, of which we're going to talk about here again, would be soft match.
Okay, good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution on supplemental project program agreement number 1 between Gage County and Department of Roads, resolution 12-05.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Mark?
What you've got there is probably the resolution to authorize the chairman to sign, and the next one's the agreement.
Okay. So any discussion on that? Vote. 7-0 to approve. And then we're up to, that went a lot faster than I thought it would. So 9-15 for the road and bridge. I think we're done with that until then, aren't we?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah?
We talk a little bit?
I think we talk about that a little bit.
NACO last week, we were out there.
If you want to get Amber.
There's a gentleman from NDOR that was there, and they were talking about the state buyback dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And he somewhat contradicted himself from what he said last year.
Jim Wilkinson or Larry Legg?
Wilkinson, I believe.
Wilkinson.
Tall, skinny guy or shorter, heavier guy?
No, it was Wilkinson or Jacobson. Jacob or Jacobson?
No, it'd be Jim Wilkinson.
Wilkinson, okay.
There was discussion last year about the federal buyback and the state would allocate those dollars down and supposedly the federal requirements would go away. And well, we know now that it's 80%. And they were touting how great that all 93 counties had signed off on. Well, there was really, we weren't really given a choice. You either sign it or not was how it was presented to us. So during his presentation, he talked about the fact that soft match dollars were gone. And then he had a discussion, but well, maybe they're not after we do an audit.
They have a place.
So that maybe they are, maybe they're not, depending on how they can be used. And when they talked about the 80% dollars that were coming down from the federal dollars, we have to come up with that 20%. And we could or could not use soft match. So now we as a county are going to absorb that 20%, but there may not be as much cost savings because not all the federal requirements actually went away. We had a slide with all these requirements that we're going to continue to maintain. Even though technically they weren't federal dollars, they were state dollars.
You know how they told us if we signed that, we wouldn't need the RCs?
Yeah.
They're saying we need the RCs.
You still have to have
for the state aid, for the money you're getting on the state? That's not accurate.
Well, that's what I asked him. Yeah. I said, okay, well, so now...
Is he going to change the statutes then to make that the requirement?
And I said, so now you've taken away this 20%, and I said, the other thing on the table where we could potentially get the 20% would be inheritance tax. I said, now there's discussion that goes away. And so you kind of got this deer in the headlight look from the gentleman at the podium. It was a different conversation that was had than what was had last year.
Well, keep in mind, we the agreement that we voluntarily signed, which was either sign this or get zero, because that testimony was given to the legislature, too, and I about fell off my chair because they wouldn't take public testimony that day, and they were touting the 100% participation. Until afterwards, I talked to the committee and said, would you sign something that said you either sign this or you get zero? And that's basically why they got 100%.
Well, I think very few people in that room felt that they were given the straight facts because it was a totally different scenario we received than what we were anticipating.
Right. Now, we've signed that agreement. That agreement basically says what we can use that money for. And there are no restrictions in that agreement of how we use that money or the obligations. I didn't see the slide because I wasn't allowed to go to that meeting.
Really?
So, yeah, I was asked not to go to that meeting. So,
well, as Rex and I were there, we were thinking Mark should be here.
Yeah, well, yeah. We kept saying
So, if you have that in a handout, I'd be interested to see it because just because we use state funds, local funds, doesn't mean we're not obligated to follow the federal mandates. Core permits, fish and wildlife, game and parks, all those mandates are attached to all of us. The level of scrutiny through a federal aid project, that's a federal a nexus, they call it, that connects all those agencies and requires them to do NEPA. They have to agree. They weren't talking to each other. So Congress said, hey, you got to do NEPA. You got to all at least hear each other. So the NEPA process gets in there. So if there's any federal dollar, NEPA kicks in. So that NEPA process goes away, and that's what's been killing this program because the agencies, it's not just the lead agency has to listen to all the other ones and then make a decision, and you're asking them to make a decision. That's the problem because if somebody doesn't concur, they can just say, thank you for your input. We're going to go this way. Since it's state funds coming to us, it would take legislation to tie our hands because we have an agreement. The agreement says we can use it for these things, bridge replacements, major rehab, paving, anything that isn't already normally budgeted in our deal. So if they're going to put contingencies on there, then somewhere there has to be that.
It looked to me like it was the same as it was, just minus 20%.
Well, what they've done is they've taken 20% back, claiming it's costing them money to now use the federal funds. So now they gave you their dollar, and since they're dealing with the federal dollar, it's going to cost them more money to go through that process. So for every dollar that we would have gotten federal aid, they're giving us 80 cents. Okay? But they're also holding back at least $4 million so they can still have the program, the BRO program, the off-system program. And the off-system program, they can't use because they don't have any off-system. That's why it didn't go completely away. Then several entities complained and said, well, how are we ever going to build anything? We'd like to build viaducts and do whatever. So 15% of the federal highway bill has to go to off-system. So then they sweetened their pot and they said, well, we're going to keep more of this so that pot's a little bigger, but we're just going to do big, giant jobs. So what they've done is they've reduced the amount of money we're going to get because they're keeping that pot bigger. That's the next fight we have to go after is why are you keeping this money and giving it to pet projects?
In the metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm. Because they came in and said, geez, we'll never be able to build these big giant viaducts. One of my biggest rubs with this whole thing is if you read the highway bill, gives us, the calculation is based on the square foot of deficient bridge. That's one of the calculations that come back. So they take all the bridges that you have and they figure how many square foot of deficient bridge you have. Deficient bridge being less than 50 sufficiency based on our inspections. Functionally obsolete or structurally deficient means they're posted or they're too narrow. Then they put them in the bucket with all the other ones in the United States, and then our percentage is the amount of percentage money we get. There's other factors, but that's a big one. So by telling us to drop our jobs and that this eligible bridge they're not going to fund, I've talked to several people and congressional delegates in Washington Federal Highway and said, how can you calculate how much the state gets and then we don't have access to replace what's generating that income to the state? And they all kind of sat back and said, that's a good point, because basically by not allowing us to do these small jobs, that generator is going to always be there. Now, I don't think that's the intent of anybody, but I should be allowed to use the money that it was intended for to replace that bridge so that it improves the system, not building new structures off someplace, or upgrading. So that's a big problem. Right now is the time to be engaged because they're trying to figure out the new highway bill. So all those new rules can be in that highway bill, and how that money passes to the locals is the deal. Ben Nelson's been working with me, and unfortunately, or fortunately, however you stand, he's the most engaged on the highway bill. I mean, he'll be gone. So we're going to lose that part, whether you like him or not. It's whatever, but Alan Abbott is his technical advisor, and he used to be the director of Department of Roads. So Mr. Abbott's been instrumental on getting information to Congress. So it's a problem, and you heard it because they're not even consistent in the same speech.
No,
so
not.
We got to just stay on top of it and get.
And the buzz in the room was it's somebody turned into some other county. Is that what you knew they were doing? No, that's not.
But as you sat there and listened to it, it didn't make sense. So you asked for clarification, and then their answer didn't make sense. And you just kind of throw your hands up and say, "Okay,
I agree."
And
the Highway Superintendent Association is not a NACO affiliation. I mean, we meet there. It's a separate deal. And Casey Sherlock is our president, and he's been engaging. He's the elected county surveyor in Hall County. So we've been trying to get more engaged. I think NACO needs to have a subcommittee, and they need to be really engaged in this. I know Larry Dix's plate is just always packed full with all the, this year especially, the legislation is killing us, but there needs to be a group of people that just hone in on this and put the pressure on to get the answers. Just tell me what the rules are. Tell me what they are.
Yeah, what's the expectations? Because we don't know. They've changed.
They're changing. So yeah. That's a problem. And, like I said, you got Larry Dix. He's our guy, and he's got all these other issues, and he just can't concentrate on this. So getting a group of people that are willing to put the energy in and be the consistent, hey, what's going on? That's what needs to happen from the counties, in my opinion.
Okay.
But you're a great resource for us because you are tuned in. So
I try to appreciate
the conversations that you have with us because that's helped because, we sit in a room and
you don't know.
Try to put it together.
And that's the point, and that's my point, too. And Larry Dix, and I keep going back to Larry because Larry's very knowledgeable, but, every time I talk to Larry, there's probably 15 bills that are down there that are just going to really be detrimental to us. I mean, there's some bills down there, and I didn't bring my list, and I'm sure you've reviewed them, but 30 days I got to give written notice to a landowner to get an obstruction out of my right-of-way before I can even go grade a ditch. That bill's out there. You've got, the inheritance tax. We all know about that one. We've got revisions. 1102 is a phase out of the inheritance tax. You've got, there's things out there that are just going to kill us. And Larry's out there pounding the pavement and fighting, and there needs to be a group, I think, from NACO, or the board needs to, and is anybody here on the NACO board? We don't have anybody? I think we've got to have a small subcommittee. The highway superintendents have what they call a federal aid standing committee. And we used to have communications with the roads, and that just doesn't happen anymore. So the pressure needs to go on. I mean, you guys got a lot of power if you get together. This is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
So, that's why. And I was in three counties yesterday and said the same thing. So what we need to do is everybody says, yeah, let's go, and then everybody goes home. So... So if you hear stuff at meetings like that, you gotta try to get it in writing, so we got something to work with or whatever. But
okay, is that it on that? 5 minutes, Gus and Amber. Can you do your report in 5 minutes? Then we'll do the. Or do you want to do it at the end? It's up to you. I figured that.
Four things.
We have a bid for 3 minutes.
That's right.
Amber Mulberry, Gage County Corrections Director. Quarterly reports for fourth quarter 2011. 176 males booked in, 57 females. 128 felony charges, 255 misdemeanors, and 50 other. Inmate medical expense, $11,101.76. Income from fingerprints, $302.50. Income from inmate phone, $775.56. Commissary commission income, $4,365. Spent outside on prisoner housing, $22,167.28. Total lodge was 233, with 156 arrests from the Sheriff's Office, 73 from Beatrice PD, 2 from Wymore Police Department, and 2 from the State Patrol. There were 40 alcohol-related arrests. The total in medical, which I said before, was $11,101.76. $6,765.29 of that was for general care, $4,336.47 for emergency medical, and there was $38 spent on vision. Questions? Comment?
Okay. Gus, you're up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I rush all day long, and I can't rest over here. Okay, Sheriff's Office, fourth quarter for 2011. Calls for service was 1,692. Accidents was 137. Citations were 66. Warnings, 213. And 145 arrests. Papers served, 295. Warrants served, 93. Fees earned, $3,161.43. Fees from mileage was $3,467.11. $32 from copies made. Distress warrant collection in full was $2,255.62. Partial payments on distress warrants, $81.34. Town inspection fees, $2,940. We drove approximately 64,676 miles, patrol unit wise. Transport miles we put on was 1,980. We had no money on grant refunds at this time. No meth labs. We had 4 drug violations. Reserve deputies put on 3,721 miles for us and gave us 350.5 miles. We had 1,342 billing checks, and we found 22 open doors from those checks. Any questions?
Questions. Matt.
Fuel. I'm curious if you and Galen are going to get together and talk about potential fuel usage. You know, the buzz out there is $5, $6 gas. Both your business and Galen's business uses a lot of fuel. How do we continue to provide service but also be responsible?
No,
it's a challenge. I know
it
that.
Is. Obviously, I think you buy where the price is right. Obviously, you try to do that, bid around, and assume how you do that.
Yeah.
Prices are going to be up anyway, no matter what. I mean, it's going to come down to, Matt, if it's that bad. In the years past, we had a lot more miles a night, and that was it. So I don't want to come to that, but
Yeah, I'm not advocating reducing services. It's just something we're going to have to consider
concern,
as we
yeah.
move forward in the budget year that this cost, you know, we could 30-40% increases.
In reference to that, about 3 weeks ago, Galen, I think, was the time frame, I think, that your office went ahead and booked about half of your supposedly fuel needs for the year. So we are
locked in
for 6 months, or half of our needs that we used the previous year. So at least we're caught up a little bit there.
Very good.
We don't know what's going to happen from there on out. But
we have 860-some square miles, and it takes a lot to patrol and a lot to do work.
Adds up quick.
So greater work.
I might add just real quick, Rex. An IT guy called me and said we're at over 24,000 a month now on visitors on our site for websites, so it's still increasing a lot. So we're getting a lot of contact out there. And it's helping us on arrest warrants and back taxes, so it serves its purpose.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 9:15. Okay, we need a motion to put that on file.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. It's 9:15. We need a motion to open the public hearing for the 1 and 6 year proposed highway improvement plan.
So
moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to open the public hearing. Galen, you have a sign-in sheet?
Yeah.
Okay. Eames, you get signed on her?
Okay.
Mark, you want to get it started? Mark Minnelli, our architect. Are you an architect?
No.
Can you look at our doors?
I can't do that.
Do you play fire marshal too?
That's perfect.
Yeah, you're right. That wasn't nice. It won't be my first mistake of the day.
Why won't he return my call?
Here, I got mine.
I got mine.
You didn't hear me, so it wasn't that fun. I said probably not the last either.
We know that.
Make any mistakes, aren't you?
That's right.
Rex, you want me to present?
Yes, sir.
We got this in today.
Appreciate the whole formal form here, but this is the one I can understand.
That's the one we can look at and
your
follow.
Full size map of what
I left that one home.
The 1 and 6, I'd like to take 5 minutes and just tell you guys
what's
in here. So I don't know if this is, if I'm babbling and something you guys all know, just tell me to move on.
No, here it is.
This is the document that will be submitted to the Board of Classifications for approval. This is state requirement. It's due at the end of the month. Galen is the highway superintendent that will sign the new projects and the forms. You'll pass a resolution adopting it. In this report are, and you've got the, you basically got the guts of it. There's, it's called a Form 11, and then there's a map associated with it. Form 11 is all the previous year's project, 1 year project. On those projects, it either says delayed, done, or removed. So basically, this is a tool that we can look at and see what we wanted to try to accomplish last year and what we accomplished as far as our major infrastructure projects. I want to take just a couple seconds and talk about what should be in this and what has to be in this. Capital improvement projects have to be in here. If we go out and put gravel on a road, that's maintenance. That does not have to go in here. If I go out and change the characteristics of a road other than its historical, what it historically was. For instance, if I go out and grade a road up and it was always 26 foot wide and I'm just putting it back because it's sloughed into the ditch, that's maintenance. If it was never to standard and I'm exceeding the width, I'm exceeding the side slopes, I'm widening a bridge, I'm putting a significant amount of money into a rehab, that's a project. It has to be identified on here. So these are those projects. So the little maintenance jobs, crack sealing, gravel, cleaning ditches out, cleaning a culvert out, those are not 1 in 6 projects. So I don't want anybody to look at this and say, geez, you know, that's all we got done last year. That's not the indication. So on the form 11, I gave you a map, I gave you the form, and you can kind of look at the projects there and see which ones they are. The next map is the one-year plan, which we're going to talk about in detail, and then there's one for the six-year plan and the associated forms, the Form 8 and Form 9 for those. The Form 6, or the Form 9 is the six-year plan. The six-year plan is all of our projects that we're looking at trying to accomplish over the next 5 or 6 years, including the one-year stuff. Now, there's a lot of projects that have been around for a while. Most of those are the federal aid projects that we programmed and we've been waiting for the funds. This report is our tool to let everybody in the county know where we're going to spend their money on the major projects, get concurrence from Road and Bridge and the full board of what direction the road department's in, and to be able to report back to you of what we accomplished go back to our people and say, okay, this is what we want to get done this year. What are we going to do to get this accomplished? Given that the one year projects, there are about just under half of these projects are new. One of the reasons is armor coat. I've broken them down. Armor coat in some counties will say they're maintenance. It's a major amount of money, so I always show it because I want everybody to know where we're spending the money. And the reason is it's a contract item, and when we do our budget expenditure report at the end of the year, I have to declare where I'm spending all my major money, and this will let me tie it in to my budget expenditure report. So there's quite a few armor coat jobs in there, and I see in previous years we just lumped armor coat into one item. These are individual projects. Project priority is a requirement by statute. One and two are two federal aid jobs. Galen's going to touch base a little bit and give us an update on where those are at. And then if you go to the six-year project, the number one priority or the top project, 168, is our third federal aid project. And I will just tell you that federal aid-wise, we're on top of the list. I mean, we still got, you had a major paving job last year. You got three bridge projects with paving this year. We're getting a big chunk line share of federal aid money before the program runs out. So we're really in good standing. Our cost match, i.e. the soft match, I when we're done with this, I definitely want to spend a little time on that because the state's going to want to audit our soft match program to basically reapprove our account, and we'll talk about that after the hearing. Of these projects, there's over to the side you can see descriptions, quite a few of the descriptions that you see there where there's nothing written by them. Those are culverts. The majority of those culverts have been sized. We sized the culverts for Gage County have for years. There's several that we haven't sized yet. I think there's about 5 or 6 that we added this year that we still haven't sized the culverts. The probably the biggest job or one of the biggest jobs is the Hickory Road project that goes from where the paving ends northwest of town all the way out to the plant. And what we've decided in the road and bridge is, and what we've been talking about is, since there's major utilities and grading, and what I wanted to do is to get the right-of-way purchased, get the grading done, and get the utilities relocated and let that grade sit before we put a major investment of pavement on there and look at doing the paving if all the planets are aligned for next year and do the paving as a separate project. So that's probably one of our major jobs. And then we still have the Philly Adams overlay, the 11-mile overlay project. That's dollar-wise, that's also a large project.
What kind of money is the one-year plan, total dollars in the one-year plan?
Well, I didn't add them up. I wish I would have. The estimated costs are in there, so some...
Yeah, I see Matt, I'm just Matt, too slow with it.
Yeah, Matt, I was looking at Matt over there because he's usually...
Because I mean that number.
More than we're fixed. We're
that fiscally, number is reality.
This number is from the estimates when the Form 7s, and we'll talk about the Form 7 in a minute here. But those are preliminary engineering estimates when the projects were programmed. Now, you can tell how old the project is by the project number. For instance, item 15 is 168. If you want to know what 168 detail is, you go to the Form 7, which you don't have. This is the If any of you want one of these that have the Form 7, that's the project description, I will put one together for you. Just let me know how many people want them. Most commissioners will just shove them in the drawer, so they just want the maps. But if you want them, there's a project description in there. So if I go 168, project, you can come in here and you can look it up. And that's actually our oldest project. That's a federal aid, Adams Northwest project. So other than that, you know, we've been moving along pretty good. Some counties have numbers that are way back. So just because it's on my one-year program, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily wanting to get it done this year. It means we're working on it. Some of these are multi-year projects, and I need board approval to move forward with these major projects. So what will happen is ultimately I like to be fiscally constrained plus about 25% on these one-year projects so that if I got to run into a brick wall, I got a project to go to or to get it ready for the next year. This year we've tailored it back a little bit. I didn't have enough time to get to all the sites because I intend to go to all the sites, evaluate them, and as time goes on, that's what we'll be able to present to you is a fiscally constrained a one-year plan. Now, what I intend to do with that one-year plan then is go to Road and Bridge and say, this is what we want to do. Give me the money. Because that's the next thing in our magic mix here is our budget. And then you guys are going to tell me all the wishes that you want to do, and then I'm going to flop this back at you and say, okay, give me the money. And then you're going to say, no, I'm going to give you this much money, and I'm going to say, okay, you've prioritized these. Draw the line.
I'll do that later.
I know. And that's fine because I don't want to fight and argue over money. I want you guys to make decisions for the constituents, and then we're going to try to get as much out of it as you can. The culvert sites, we try to do as many of those as we can. That's get rid of a small structure, a narrow structure. They're cheap. Our guys can do them. We get in and out. They're cost effective. The constituents get rid of deficient little bridges that aren't on the system. That's a real big bang for our buck. So typically, I would like to see 10 to 20 of those. I know we've been pounding on them for previous years. Galen goes out and looks for those bad crossings where we're having trouble with overtopping, narrow bridges, small timber structures. That's a huge advantage to everybody. How do we pick which ones go? The ones that we're having maintenance issues, the ones we have complaints on, overtopping, frequency problems, where we know we have a structural issue, and then we look at the overall county and try to be fair to all the constituents in the county to spread out the improvements to all the districts. So if we've got two that need to be done and they're right next to each other and there's another one in this other corner of the county, we're going to really look hard at making sure that everybody's getting in and out of their fields. So that's how they're decided. But fortunately, those culverts are typically inexpensive to do, so we can do quite a few of them. The big-ticket items, obviously, are the ones that are painful. We've got a lot of paving in the county. We've got a lot of investment on the ground. I'm glad to see the armor coat. Asphalt dries out, crystallizes over time, and if we can keep that investment fresh, covered, sealed, protected, that investment will last longer and longer. Mistake a lot of counties have made over the years is we don't do fog seals and armor coats, and our pavement life diminishes. So we end up doing maintenance overlays, which are a lot more expensive than an armor coat. There's a lot of new asphalts out there. There's a lot of new asphalt strategies, and we're going to use those. Thin lift overlays, recycled mixes where we're using our own mix from one road to the other, the aggregates, the oils, and we'll take advantage of those when we do our asphalt project. So this big overlay project that we've got coming up, I've got to evaluate and assess that road yet, and then we'll come back with an actual plan of what we feel is the right thing for that pavement structure. And that includes cores. We'll come out and core it and look at it and see what we've got all the way down to the a foot below the subgrade to find out what we need out there, do a traffic assessment. Because the days of just slapping 2 inches or 4 inches automatically, just that's just not the answer anymore. So if the board approves this, obviously you'll pass a resolution. Galen will sign. We'll put the packs together, get submitted, and then it'll be approved at the next Board of Classifications as it has in previous years, and then this will be what we work on. Now, if you guys come up with something, guys or gals come up with something, and you want something done, it can be done. The process is at a board meeting, we'll have another hearing, we'll advertise it, and we'll do what's called a Form 10, and we can add to this plan. So if you see something that isn't there that, that you want, now's the time to discuss it and add it. If you don't know, don't panic, because we can always add stuff later on.
Well, I'll just start some of the discussion on it. When we talk overlay, I mean, when Neem was on the board, Shirley was on the board, an overlay, we need to hit all four parts of the county to make it viable for everyone in the county to have buy-in. So when we look at any project that we're talking an overlay, I think we need to talk, where are we doing it, north, south, east, west, middle, top, bottom, to make it all parts of the county. Because if you do an overlay on just, I don't care if it's Liberty, Virginia, Odell North, Philly, Adams, Cortland West, we need to look at the whole county. Everyone's paying for it. So in the past, EMA's, you were on how many years ago? I think that philosophy was there all along, that we look at doing segments of the county together. So that's the part I want to share, is that we involve the whole county when we look at an overlay. That's just fine.
And I agree. And Galen and I sat down, and I asked for historical information about our roads, and I was impressed. I mean, we've got a lot of historical information that we know from a period on how much we've added. You know, we had a big push for overlays like in the 90s, and we went from structures to overlay for a while, and we've got that record. Ultimately, what would be nice is to have a long-term pavement plan, and then based on what's happening every year, we can project out, and you can look at, you know, hey, listen, within the next 5 years or so, we're going to have to do something with these segments of roads, and that'll help you make those decisions to spread those out. And it looks like we've been doing that just kind of in the back of our heads. I'd like to get it out and
we have. I mean, that's what it's been. My biggest concern is we add new infrastructure, and we won't be able to maintain what we already have.
That's huge.
And I guess my biggest concern is we have to protect the roads that we have now. And I'm all in favor of adding new overlays, blacktops, new concrete, whatever it is, if the integrity of our existing system isn't compromised at all. So first and foremost, when I look at these dollars, Rex's head saying this can't be done. And I mean, Matt's a math guy, but there's millions of dollars sitting right here that we have to prioritize on what we're going to do.
I agree. And a lot of counties are getting to the point to where it's become too much, and they're putting things back to gravel. And that's based on traffic numbers. If your traffic numbers are dropping off in certain places, we're grinding up roads and starting to put gravel over them and using those millings from those for other projects. And I'm not suggesting we're going to go out and grind up roads. Don't get me there. But, I mean, there's options out there where there used to be a small town or an elevator, and it's gone, and there's just nobody on that road anymore. Or the road's in such disrepair that to fix it's going to be a reconstruction cost instead of a maintenance cost.
And as things, county changes, the ethanol plant has changed traffic patterns.
Yep.
Different plants can change different things. So, I mean, that's part of why we have plans also.
But I live out in the country, and if you look at my pickup, you can tell. I always tell everybody I'd rather have a crappy paved road than a gravel road. So I'm a proponent of trying to keep it there as long as you can. But I'm not saying that we should let things go to disarray, but there are other options, and we need to look at all of them.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mark? I think Eam has a question. Eam, do you have a question?
Well, not really, not until you get into it a little further when you start explaining the different projects that you
okay.
have. Are you going to go through these lists that you have here?
We can go through whichever ones that you're interested in.
That you have, well, one-year plan. Do I see where some of them are on the bottom of the six-year plan. That used to be on the top, just about of the one-year
plan. Oh, C-34-1013, that one?
Yeah. You're right, and what we've done on the six-year plan,
East Logan, Eam.
Or
East Logan, East 28 Logan.
The six-year plan isn't prioritized. They're on there just by number.
It's not prioritized.
No. It's, if you notice, it's just numerically on there so you can find one.
All right.
Well, for ease of, if you look at the priority, but we haven't prioritized them, so the one-year plan are prioritized. So if the board decides they want to try to prioritize out the six-year plan, I mean, we can do that, but it takes a lot of effort.
I see.
And my big thing with this document, and when I started doing these, you know, these are promises we're making to people. I take that to heart, and I want to make sure that people understand this is, you know, 6 years kind of are on our radar. Our 1 year is what we intend to do. So I don't want to... I mean, it's an excellent question, what you're saying, but that's why I put that numerically, because if next year I prioritize that 6 year and that doesn't come on, then I'm making an excuse, or why isn't my high priority and my 6 year on my 1 year? So you're exactly right. And we can do that. And sometimes, like the 1 year, we used to lump together, and then the state came back and said, "Listen, you got to have priorities on these." So if they came back to me and said, "Prioritize your 6 year," we could, but I don't know how you can even realistically do that.
Yeah, just speak to Eamon Shirley as they sit there. One of the things we talk about in Road and Bridge, probably the last 2 months, is we look at new paving projects or discussions about Hickory Road West, Virginia, Liberty, and also the South 66 Road, those 2 miles that we've graded. And we look and we scratch our heads. You know, we've got some of these that are sitting there waiting. There's been work done. How do we look at trying to knock all of these out, or do we incrementally do those? And we're sitting there, again, scratching our heads saying, how do we get this done? And those are right here at the front of our minds on, you know, how do we get those done? We talk about that a lot. The longer we wait, and I'm not advocating jumping in and spending money quickly, the longer we wait, the price keeps going up. The price keeps going up. The price keeps going up. And so we're going to have to decide how we're going to do this. And I think that's why you'll continue to see that South 66. We spent a lot of money getting that thing ready. And I think what we've talked about in Road and Bridge is we're going to start something. We need to finish it. And then we're just going to have to stop and go to maintenance driven, because we do have a lot of infrastructure out there that just becomes cumbersome to continue to maintain. And we've had a lot of those good conversations, and we scratch our head and think, boy, how big is this project getting? And you run out of digits on the calculator over a period of time, and then what can we realistically do? So that plan is still out there. I think we talked about that, and you know that Hickory Road isn't a new project. It's just one that's now become more urgent because there's more and more development out that way. And then there's that Blacktop Island that's out there south of Virginia that just kind of stops. And what was that there for? And we can't connect everything, but there's some that do make a lot of sense to do that. And we've had those discussions. And, you know, then we've got the patchwork quilt, basically, the road south of the Pickerel Philly Blacktop that just becomes... You know, Myron jokes, if we wait long enough, it'll be overlaid based on patches.
Yep.
And so, you know, those are things we look at, and there's a lot of traffic on there that goes straight north to the ethanol plant. So there are those influences that the infrastructure was never built to maintain as that influence comes there. And we've visited with the township up there, and they've got influences up there, and it's a process. It really is. But we try to consider all those things in Road and Bridge. And
I remember when you were on the board, Hickory Road was discussed. I mean, we were talking about Hickory Road back then.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's been a long time.
Eam, if you're around later, Terry's got some questions on the history of our blacktop or tonnage and how some of that come about. And I think a history lesson's needed on some of that. And just why we have the tonnages on what we do and the protecting of them. And where that discussion came from in today's today's world, anyway.
On some of them, there's a resolution for just the 15-ton, and some of them, they've been updated some, and there's resolutions where basically you can have 68,000 pounds on, and we're curious. Some of us don't understand or where or why they were set the way they were or when they were, you know, because we're having some serious discussions on some of them. The scale boys are... They want to enforce what's out there, and do we leave them or do we change them? And those are a lot of discussions we're having with Mark, too, now. And if we change them, why we changed them, not just to change them because somebody says they're going to enforce something.
Well, if you want me to comment on that or whatever, I will later on.
Yeah. Mark says go ahead.
Yeah, I'd be.
Ian, can you come up? And that way Don says we get you on record.
Oh, my name is Ian Grunewald. Good morning. And the new members and older members that I recognize very well. Anyway, the questions that come up, like Myron was just mentioning, the answers to a lot of them are just kind of like your 1 and 6 year plan. They get talked about, and they're out there. The reason they're out there was at one time established because it was in the ballpark of being right. But I'll go along with Myron, and Terry knows that some of the restrictions that are on these blacktops, you can't hardly drive an empty truck down there regardless put a load on it. But we've been getting by all these years, and I think Gus hasn't got the resources to enforce them, and the Department of Transportation comes out and does it on the state highways and that, so it keeps everybody pretty well in check. And the thing of it is, when you look at the blacktop roads that are out there, they're doing the job. When we had this bond issue years ago that we ran probably about 12 to 15 years ago, we was told at that time that it'll never work because you can't overlay the blacktops in the condition that they were. Well, we had so many roads that was in such bad shape at that time, it was a liability factor if we didn't get them fixed up or do something with them, why the county stood a chance of getting in the problems liability wise. And so one way or the other, we got the bond issue through. We overlaid, I think it was 27 miles at that time, and we done it just like Rick said. We done so many in the north part, so many in the south, and so far, and that worked good, and that's still a good practice to follow. But these blacktops, they're saving the county money. I don't know how you could look at it any other way when you consider a gravel road, which you have to maintain every week and have to haul gravel on maybe once a year or whatever, and you put a blacktop out there like we did when we ran the bond issue. It's been there for 15 years, and they're still good. They're still good, safe roads to travel. But the only part of it is costs keep going up all the time. I don't know if you can maintain it either as far as that. Nobody's to know, but I would sure give it a good try because if you consider the safety of the people that have to drive them and you consider your economic development that everybody's so concerned about, that's all part of it. So it's not just the original cost on that blacktop. It's safety for the people that drive it. It's help with your economic development and everything considered. So the cost isn't all that bad yet. I hope that we consider to.
You know, and that's about the same story you told 12 years ago when I came on the board. It's pretty close.
Yep, well, that's the way it is.
It is. Yep. It is.
And as far as the restrictions, I know sometimes I think that's something that could be looked at. But, hey, it's working. And Gus isn't too hard hit to enforce anything. And the people that are out there are paying the bills as far as the weight limits and so forth. How close you want to get to making everything right, that's up to the board, I guess. But then Terry knows from being in the truck building business, you can build a truck probably 100 different ways, and you can make this work and that work. But our blacktops, with the weight limits and that we have on them, it just don't work for very many trucks. So, and I don't know what you do to improve that. But some of the roads that we've had on here, and that's the reason we're here this morning. Shirley was on the board when I got off, and we've had some of these projects on there, and I think, Matt, you hit the nail on the head when you said, let's get some of these done, you know, rather than always have them on the 1 and 6 year plan. And yet we're still on the 1 year. That doesn't do nothing, except that we've made progress on some roads. You have made progress on the one from 136 to Sergeant Street there, that east to that 2 miles, and that's one now that looks like it sure be nice to get that fixed. So I don't know of anything that no sure way to pay for them or anything like that, but it takes tax dollars. Some places people don't mind spending a few dollars, whereas other places they don't. So, and Dennis, you know that. So I thank you that for
thank your time. You, Eam. I appreciate the history.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
Back when those restrictions were put on, most of us were using straight trucks.
Yeah.
One of the things we might look at is an axle loading, because they just sitting here listening and thinking, we used to worry about that gross on that straight truck we all had, and maybe if we look at that, what that translates back to for an axle loading, then if nothing else, these guys can run empty or partial loads, because everybody's using 18-wheelers now. So if it's a 5-ton axle loading, you can at least get your rig back on pavement. So those are some options we can look at instead of the gross vehicle weight. We look at actual postings.
And that's what we want. We want to look at them. So yeah.
And that's what some of them have. Some of them have the axle loading, but not all of them.
Is there any other questions on the 1 and 6? I had one. I'm trying.
Brex, Eam has one.
Go ahead, Eam.
Is there any way that you can consider at this point in time to move some of the projects on the 6-year plan up to the 1-year plan? Or is it your desire just to leave it where they are?
Well, I think what Mark told us earlier, and if I'm wrong, he can correct me. His 1-year plan is a wish list of what needs done, and then we tell him how many dollars he's going to spend. And he will spend that amount of dollars. If it's up to him on the 1-year plan, he'll put it all on there, and then we have to find the money to pay for it. Because your vision of the 1-year plan is reality, right? What's on the 1-year plan is going to get done. So don't put it on there if we don't have the money to do it.
Which is basically you just said. But do you have a particular project that you're
referring to? Well, is that one road that we spent so much money on? We bought the easement for it. You know that?
The 2-mile grading? Yeah, we designed that for you. We started that the same time we did Hickory Road. We talked about Hickory Road. So that's how long that's been around.
It was done before Hickory Road.
No, it was, but the discussion for all these.
I see.
Yeah, that's.
That'd be one of my concerns.
And that's one that Road and Bridge was really looking at hard. So.
$1,013. South 66, right. Yeah, right there.
1013
or 1113?
1013.
Okay. And it's on the 6-year only.
Yeah.
Second or third from the bottom on the 6-year. Fourth from the bottom.
Yeah. And they're just numerical in there, so don't. I mean, if we want to try to prioritize those, that's going to take a lot of effort. But so that's the original estimate, $500,000 for 2 miles. That's probably low.
You said that's the original estimate, so that is not in today's dollars.
That's the estimate. When I say original, these are just. Real rough estimates because there's no quantities been figured.
Well, would they be comparable to when the Hickory Road we're looking at $600,000 to $800,000 a mile?
Well, yeah, it'd be less because that's foundation course, concrete pavement, shoulders the whole bit, and the grading's done.
Okay.
That's done. So, you know, if you're three, you know, it's probably on a little low side. So you're looking at probably $300 a mile, and we've got
2 miles.
Yeah, we got 2 miles. You got about $500,000 in there.
Rex Shirley had a question too. Shirley, did you have something?
I guess the only thing I'm thinking of the South 96 Road. It's the utility poles. Everything has been moved. The easements have been bought. The culverts are put in. The county took the expense for that. So I mean, it's ready to go. Where's your Hickory Road? You don't even have the easement bought on those additional 4 miles. And I think maybe they should be thinking about some of the passenger cars that are using this road with that high amount of traffic count that Marlin always had, just as, to me, it's just as important as the semis that are going to go on this additional 4 miles.
And we're just grading that this year, so we're not paving the Hickory Road.
But I mean, the other one is ready to go.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
We've had the discussion on Hickory Road, Shirley, and if I say it wrong, we don't know if we can ever afford to pave it. But we know we can afford to grade it, make it a better, safer road, just like South 66. Those were all improvements for safety, and that's what we're talking on Hickory. I mean, it's on the wish list, but it's a lot of money.
And where the fatalities and four fatalities on that road, and that's why we did get started on that road, and we put a lot of money into it. So it's just we would sure like to keep it on the
board. I agree with you.
The other one I'm just asking really quick is a Philly Bridge. Is that on the 1 year plan?
That's the first one up here, isn't it?
Top of the list.
Second from the top.
Yeah, second from the top. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are dictated by the federal aid we're waiting for, and they've scheduled them.
A third on the front page, second on the
talk about those updates.
Mark, I believe that is supposed to be bid this year. Is that correct? In August? Is that the one?
No.
Wymore's in August.
Wymore.
Okay.
Wymore be bid this year. Okay. Yeah, hopefully late summer. Yeah. Go ahead, Gabe.
Getting started on their environmental studies on things right now.
Galen's going to give board update on those three federal aid jobs.
Okay. Shirley, Amy, you have any more questions? Okay. You want Galen, you said?
If you want an update on your federal aid projects.
Continue if you got more to go.
I'm good.
Okay,
you guys,
Galen?
Have more questions.
You're on the hot seat.
On that east of 23, Blue Springs, Wymore, that's the project right there on the end of Wymore. And presently we're in the... NDOR has looked at the right-of-ways. NDOR has looked at the right-of-ways that we acquired, and they'd all been approved, but we were waiting on one, the railroad right-of-way. And the railroad finally contacted us back, and they wanted to add an additional 1,500 square foot more than what we had asked for and paid for. They said it would be at no cost to the county. So that's where it's at right now. The railroad is rewriting the legal description and getting it back to the Midwest right-of-way. They're the ones that originally handled the right-of-way on that. So whenever the railroad gets done with that, then we'll move on to the next step. And I can't tell you how fast the railroad will move on it. We keep pushing on them, but you can only push so hard with the railroad.
Hey, Cameron. On that, what you're saying is the railroad wanted to give us 1,500?
An additional 1,500 square foot. There was a little block of property that they owned, and it butted up, and this is along the railroad tracks where the old crossing used to be. There was an additional little block of, I can't remember, like 50 by 30, I think it was.
Very little.
That they wanted to get rid of, so I presume so they didn't have to maintain it. They thought it'd be a better working deal than if for them anyway. So we agreed to let that to move this along. We agreed to go ahead with their request on that. And like I said, it was no additional cost to the county for the 1,500 square foot. So that's where it's at right now. The railroad has to get the legal description back to us. The engineer in Lincoln that done the design work for it, he's got to update his plans that shows that additional. Then we've got to get back to NDOR so they can approve it, and it all goes back to the railroad.
I'm not aware. I guess I'm not familiar with this piece. Or is it just because they don't want the maintenance? I mean, we've done environmental study on it. It's not an environmental issue they're handing off to us, is it?
No, it was included in the environmental study originally.
Okay. Gary, if you looked at a map, and we had an area like this, it was actually a corner up here about an eighth of that corner.
On the east side of the road.
Yeah.
It's not even by the...
That would include it and make it actually a square up there instead of that out or whatever. And why it originally didn't get in there, I don't know.
Okay.
But it fits the whole thing. And if you look on the map, it really makes more sense to include it in this, except all of a sudden now that delays the whole project because they need to redo all of these things.
That's fine. I was just making sure we weren't being given a gift horse with a rotten tooth.
No.
This is a good one, and yep. I just want to clarify. The environmental studies he was talking about are
Fish and Wildlife Game and Parks, not a Phase 1 or a Phase 2 environmental license to be bought.
Right.
So you've got a valid question. And maybe Gail and I will take a look at it and make sure it's not where the fuel tank's at. Because I know what you're asking.
Well, we've ran into it when I was on the city.
I don't think it is, but the west side of the road is the old yard, so he brings up a very good point.
That's not what the environmental people are even looking at. They're just looking
right.
I thought I had a map of it, Gary. I don't.
Yeah,
I saw one the other day.
We had a map.
Galen probably.
Galen gave us a map, but yeah. I don't have it either.
I don't have that with me. The N28 Philly Bridge, we have just started with the environmental study on it. Olson Associates is doing that. So that's the next step we have to complete before we can move on. That one there... it'll probably be, I'm just taking a wild guess, sometime in 2013 letting possibly on that one. The north of 12 Nemaha, that's up on Apple Road. We have just got started on that one. I picked out the environmentalist group to do the study. We got to put a bunch of paperwork together and take it back to NDR so they can approve the cost for the study, and then it'll go on to the next step, and they'll get started on an environmental study on that bridge there. So that would be, let's say, maybe 2014, possible, if everything went good. So that's the three federal aid bridges that we have.
Okay. Any questions for Galen?
Thanks, Galen.
I'm just getting a map for Gary there. Any other questions on the 1-6-year plan? Need a motion to close public hearing then?
I'll move.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close the public hearing. Need a motion to approve resolution 12-06 on the Gage County 1-6-year proposed highway plan.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. What else is Mark?
I've got a couple of other, unless you have other questions, I'd like to just bring up. One of the things Galen and I have been working on is Federal Highway, or the federal government, has put the retro reflectivity requirements on counties and cities, and because of the input that they've gotten, they have delayed the implementation requirement, but suggested that the long-term signing plan be instituted by the county. Reflectivity is basically how a sign reflects the light, and what they've said is they want a written plan that shows how we're going to make sure that all of our signs meet the reflectivity. Historically, night inspections, complaints, visual inspections once a year with an inventory is what most counties would do. What the feds came back with is they put a number on that reflectivity. So you have to meet that minimum reflectivity through a reflectometer, it's called. Or you can still do the night inspections to make sure that they're not engineering grade or they're dull. We've all seen dull signs, and then have a plan to get those updated or removed. Or you can go every 10 years and just replace every sign in the county. There was enough outcry that we don't have money. So what they've done is they've said, well, we're going to go back and look at that again, but their suggestion is that we have a plan. We have a plan that we've put together that I think is reasonable. I'm a huge proponent on having a sign inventory and an inspection, a yearly inspection, especially in the short days. The guys get a little earlier, stay a little later, and run out, take a look at them all, make sure that they're stood up straight, that they're shining like they should, and that we have a safe sign inventory. I think we did a pretty good job because we've done some random road checks to look at signs and barricades because that's a loser for a county. There's just no excuse to have a bad sign and a tree in the way, it's leaning, it's turned, you can't see it. if you've been going to the NACO meetings, you've been hearing NIRMA talk about the lawsuits they've had out west, and Madison County had one on a road that they thought they'd closed where the sign was missing, and the guy hurt his back driving into where the bridge was, and they lost. They're in appeals now, and Curve Road sign out west was not readable, and that cost the county quite a bit of money out west. Stop signs that you can't read because of trees. So it's an important program. What we've been working on is some protocol that we'll bring to you to approve as a board so that we have board approval, and then that's what will be instituted. Not only on that, but also on some other standards. For instance, overtopping frequencies on our local roads based on classification. Now, why is that important? For instance, we have a 2-inch rain, gives me a probable storm of a 2 or a 5 or a 10 year storm event, comes into our right of way. We're obligated to maintain those flows through our property. We don't want it over top of the road because of the hazards. We don't want to back water up on the upstream guy because we've got state statutes telling us what we got to do there. The problem has shown up is with all the disasters we've had over the years, FEMA came in and said, okay, this culvert washed out. We want to replace the culvert. I want to replace it to a standard. There is no county standard other than it's got to be more than a minimum low water crossing, which is a yearly overtopping. So FEMA came back and said, well, since you don't have any standards in the state, not the state highway standards, we're going to give you a 5-year overtopping. That's undersized. That's a problem. So what we've been doing is going around the counties and instituting by resolution the minimum standards that we'll look at for minimum maintenance roads, low volume roads, paved roads, township roads, of what that overtopping frequency would be. There's a difference between overtopping and backwater, because if you think of Lake McConaughey, that's a perfect example of a really poorly designed culvert, because you got all this water standing up there and it's just flying out. So we don't want to create that situation, because then we're impacting the upstream and the downstream guy because we're blowing out his field. And on the other hand, we don't want it going over the dam. So there's a balance between that and having a giant bridge while I need a 24-inch tube to handle that money. Or to handle that water. So what we want to do is be able to put into resolution what our standards are. So the next time we have a disaster, we can go to FEMA and say, here's our resolution saying we will not build a bridge less than 28 foot wide. We will not build a culvert or replace a culvert that doesn't meet these standards on these types of roads. And then the state standards obviously will dictate for width and the other parameters. So that'll be coming in front of you one of these days so that that's on record. So that if we have another disaster, and we will, then we can go after the appropriate design standards. The drawback is that's going to be our design standards, so we can't pick and choose. If you pick, this is how we're going to do it, then that's what it's going to be on all projects, whether it's federal, state, or local funds. So a lot of counties have problems back out there because the minimum standards are 5-year overtopping is not adequate. That's a 2-inch rain. So that'll be coming your way. Soft match, I alluded to this a couple of times. Our 3 fetter lay jobs were probably $2.5 million total, maybe $3 million. You take 10 or 20%, depending on how it works out. That's a big chunk of our soft match money that we've got, that we've invested to pay for our local share. So what the Department of Roads has done, where it all started was the Federal Highway come in and done an audit on several counties' soft match programs. And the guy that did the audit is now retired. He retired actually the day or shortly after he handed the report in. And there was a lot of information that, because some of our projects were audited, that he claimed he didn't get the information on. So we complained to Federal Highway. Joe Werning said, you know what, let's just do it over. Guy was in a rush to get out of here. So the Federal Highway's doing an audit, and then the Department of Roads just said, until this audit gets done, we're not doing anything. Well, the uproar with the soft match, the Roads Department has said, fine, here, we'll take 25% of your last soft match jobs and audit those. And if they're good, we'll find enough money in there, and we'll bless the soft match credit. So Galen, if he hasn't already gotten, he'll get a list from the Roads Department saying, give us this information on these soft match jobs. Have you gotten that yet?
No, the last time I talked to Heather Silver, she said since all hours were, I believe, prior to 2004.
Your soft match?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so in 87 is when the program started. In 94, Tim Steffen, who worked for me, worked for the roads and actually wrote the new program. Anything prior to then, it was just go build it per standard. That was it. In 94, they came in and said, hey, let's have some documentation. So if ours are all that, we're off. We're good. We're golden. We've got that. Our credit is our credit, and it should be applied to those federal aid jobs. It's just real important that when agreements like that come in, that county attorney looks at them and that we feel comfortable with the language that's in there. And I'm not saying the roads is trying to pull stuff. I'm just saying that they got so many agreements coming and going. We just want to make sure that they didn't grab cut and paste so that we end at the end, we get a bill for 20% of $3 million. That wouldn't be fun. So we're watching that, too, and the soft match thing seems to be over the hump. So with our federal aid, we're going to be able to utilize quite a bit. What's our balance? Do you know on top of your head?
I think it's around $320,000 or $340,000, somewhere right.
So if we're $3 million and we pay 10%, we're going to burn all that out. So if you look at the game, we won. If it goes to 20% or 15%, we won't have enough soft match. We'll have to write a check or get us some soft match jobs approved to where we can get some credits built up. So as these jobs get let, we'll look at that. Do you all understand the soft match program? Basically what you have is they've said if there's an eligible structure, the ones I complained about earlier, and you follow this set of rules, which is basically your local laws, hire an engineer, size it appropriately, inspect it, get all your permits, we'll give you 80% of whatever you spend locally into this pot. So if we go and build a box culvert for an old bridge that costs $100,000, they'll give us $80,000 in credit to go to soft match. And that's where your credits came from doing small bridges and whatever. And my guess is probably back in the Don Miller era. Was it Don or probably?
Even prior to that.
Yeah, Levere? Doty did a lot. Lewis was doing a lot of box culverts back then. Applied for soft match credits. So since we followed those rules, submitted for the pavements, that's where that credit came from. Then you can use that credit on your local match for these programs. So if you look at it, except for some miscellaneous non-eligible items, the federal aid program, dollar-wise, to the local, didn't cost us anything. We were going to replace those structures anyway. The effort to do a bridge through soft match and locally, it was two letters. That was the only difference because statute tells you what you have to do. You got to have an engineer and blah, 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 blah. So it was a good program. What's that?
No architects?
No architects. Only if you're in downtown Lincoln and you want it to look pretty. Then we'll call an architect. So that's good. So if our share is $300,000, then we're good. But we'll watch that as the jobs get let. If we're going to run out of money, we're going to ask them to have a soft match job. So we'll find a bridge that's eligible, we'll replace it, use our local funds to offset that federal aid. So what at the end of the game, you end up with a structure.
Matt? Do we know what the balance for soft match?
I think Galen just thought it was just over $300,000. So the next, I was asked to look at staffing, and I'll just give you a little update on that. What we've done is tried to pull in, categorize the crews and the staff. We've done that. I've met with all the foremen, some of them a couple of times. Galen and I have met multiple times. We've tried to extract costs. And the way we've tracked cost is not exactly the easiest way to extract for what we're doing. So what we've done is we've tried to extract labor cost and then assign. Let's talk about the asphalt crew. The asphalt crew just doesn't do patching and crack sealing. You know, they're doing snow removal and they're doing miscellaneous. They did a bunch of roof work. And so what we've tried to do is categorize all those hours. And then, for instance, crack sealing. Take their crack sealing time, their raw material cost and equipment cost, and compare it to a linear foot cost, and then compare it to if I went out and hire a contractor. And we've got a couple of our groups close to where we can start looking at the numbers with the Road and Bridge And some of them, there's some tangible things in there that you just can't. It's difficult. The shop guys, for instance, is really tough. You know, how we track what the guys do, you know, if they're doing a brake job, you know, they can tell me they did a brake job. But so we'll have to talk about that. But that, the grading crew and the bridge crew, will be able to do some tangible things on. And what I've been doing is I've got a person in my office that's been working on it, in between other things, to hold the cost of the study down. So that's why it's taken so long. I didn't want to come in here with some big bill and just to get it to you quick, because I didn't want to do it too quick, because I've been trying to engage and understand before I throw that out there. The other category is the office category, and Galen and I have been working together quite a bit and trying to figure out what this office is going to look like, whether Galen's the highway superintendent and we've got a secretary, and or if we have two secretaries and or an assistant to the highway superintendent or a different highway superintendent. So what I've asked Galen to do is to try to absorb, to understand the project, the job. Don't just want to go back. Let's just try to move forward. And I think we've gotten to the point to where we feel we know what the overall outlook of that office could be. And we'll be presenting that to the Road and Bridge to talk about what we feel the staffing could be with the majority of our current staff, and then we'll need some additional help down there. I mean, we're falling behind on just paperwork and computer stuff. So I think Galen and I are on the same page. Road and Bridge, we've talked about it a little bit, so we'll be making that recommendation here pretty soon and try to get that on paper to solidify that and then see where we go from there. So that'll be coming. Then the next major bookkeeping item will be the budget, so as well as the projects. So we're Hickory Road project will be ready to go to utilities and have a public information meeting. We've talked about that to Road and Bridge, just so we can get all the landowners in there and talk about what we're doing. Talk to them individually, let them know what's going on so they don't hear, you know, coffee shop talk. And then now that you've approved the one-year plan, we'll sit with Road and Bridge and get those, whatever needs designed, done on paper and out on the street. So, in general, as far as myself and Manelli Wagner, we appreciate the opportunity to be down here. As far as what we engage and how we engage, you know, that's kind of, when I came in, I told you guys, I said, let's just see how everything works. Let's just go through and it'll make sense. What I've done for you today is what I do in a lot of counties. I take what staff you have, I try to utilize them the best I can, then I come in and supplement them with big picture, little picture, fancy books, drawings, education, and I think we're starting to get a better handle on what that means. So if there's any questions, I come present to the board. Some counties have me once a month, some have me at every meeting. If I don't have any reason to be here, I don't want to be here, just charge you. I like you guys to be informed, because then you take it to these other meetings and you talk amongst yourselves, and then we get things accomplished. We try to get everybody on the same page. So do you have any questions related to that or where we're going with that at this point?
Any questions? Nope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone need a break?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute recess.
I don't have to.
Ready.
Come on.
Let's see, when do you hit 40?
We'll call the board meeting back to order. Rex had another obligation, had to leave. What we have left on our agenda is committee reports. First up, buildings and ground.
Okay, basically in our meeting, pretty much what we're seeing across the board is that unless it's something that's already within the budgets, we're just kind of putting it on hold. And we don't see that we have extra dollars unless it's an emergency or something that has to be done right away. We, on the war monument out in front, we are talking to some people, getting some quotes to see what that might be and how Friends of the Courthouse might help or others. The Tri-County School System, SCC, students. Both have offered to participate with us as far as doing some work on that monument, but we still need to see what kind of costs that we're looking at. But basically updating things here in the courthouse, finishing what we've started. Some things, WIM came in on the console units as far as the clerks and the assessor's offices with that south wall problem that we have, and the cost of those units are prohibitive at this time, so we're going to put some smaller type unit in that we can make do that'll be very cheap, you know, for the time being. But that basically is what we've done for building ground.
Next up, economic development. I know I had Don, or Don's office at least, I don't know if everybody got this packet of the handout what we had at the meeting last week. They have one more session planned, and that will be the 29th at 6 o'clock down at Valentino's for their original agreement with Smart Solutions. In this agreement here, they basically set up basically what we've talked about all the last meetings and like a strategic plan and some objectives and some of the objectives, knowing full well that they're a year or two or three out, they put just an estimated budget in here, and I know we asked the paper and the radio to leave when we went over that, and we had quite a discussion about that because some of them were just the cost in here, and they go, well, that, you know, that can't be, or that's not right. And Smart Solution kept saying, no, this is a budget so that you kind of get an idea of what a budget could be like. Don't believe any of the numbers in here or whatever. You know, that, like, for instance, one of the things that we talked quite a bit about was hiring a professional to run this economic development. They put in $60,000, you know, and they talked about, could you hire somebody for that or not or what? And then the Smart Solution even talked about today in Nebraska, that salary you could hire somebody for that would be very, very good for Beatrice. That does not include any benefits. Now, there's other parts of the country where that would not suffice or whatever, that amount of money. But, I mean, those are just some of the things we talked about. They also then, and they're going to have for us by the next meeting, they'll probably be done after this next meeting with our original plan with them. They are going to have a proposal for, do we want them to help hire the new administrative person? Three, four, or five other things. They're going to have a cost proposal and a proposal if we want them to develop some of this or not for us. At the end of the meeting there, Mayor Schuster and I were the only two there. The whole advisory committee, they definitely wanted to see the proposal, see what it would be like, see the cost, see if we needed them or think we need them to move forward. I know Mayor Schuster was in favor, and I was too. We'd sure like to see what it is. It basically would be the last few steps to get the thing up and running, get our whole development group up and running, and then what the cost would be for that. Mm-hmm. But we're pretty close you know, I don't know if we'll set out and try and start hiring a person after this meeting or exactly what, depends on what Smart Solution comes up with. Visiting with Mayor Schuster, though, one of the other things, and I think I visited with Matt a little bit too, one of the things I think we need to do, though, sometime here is this. We had the four people from the county, I think, and the four people from the city. Sometime we need to really get together and visit as that group again, just so that we can help coordinate between this advisory group and the county and the city, so that we're kind of all on the same page, so that the advisory group doesn't come up with, say, a plan, and then all of a sudden, you know, the city doesn't like it or is unhappy with parts of it, or so is the county or whatever. So it's moving along. We're getting closer with this. It just takes a little bit more time, but I think so far what I've liked and what I've seen out here, I really like what Smart Solutions has done and the steps they developed. A lot of this, Matt had some of these same things done, but I think they fine-tuned it and they really, really set out some goals for us. And I think for the advisory group, something like this has really, really helped. It's brought them up to speed, because otherwise we were going to have them do it, but this really shows them what some of the things involved. And then I know Mayor Schuster sent out some emails and some other people too about different economic things around the country, and you start to see that it's not an easy project, It's not something that in 1 year from now you're going to say you had a great success, and it's going to take time. But the advisory group, I've been really impressed with them. They've asked a lot of good questions. They really have been interested and been real happy with them. So, anybody, any other questions?
Just one of the main reasons the city and the county groups need to get together is we had had a proposed interlocal agreement where we would, of how we were going to operate with regard to the budget, the finances, accountability, disclosure of information, and that basically all stopped. And we need to get back into that because we wanted to get this group going first. And I know that involved at one point the county attorney and the city attorney, and they were discussing how that would work. I think it's good that we're talking budget as we go into the year, because this last year we had an economic development fund. We budgeted X amount of dollars, and I think we spent about $6,500 so far, and that was basically for that study. So that's all we've spent out of that. And that's not really an operational budget. That was just a budget of where we thought we were going to be. So we need to meet with the city and where this group is going probably at that point. And what I think is still so good and interesting is that it won't be the plan wasn't, unless we change it, wasn't to have the county's agreement with this group and the city's agreement with this group. It was a city-county agreement. It's together with this group, which was different before than before. So I think that'll be a good thing. So that's really why we need to get together and shake that out and give Roger some more work in his spare time. But that's been working pretty well. So.
Next up, emergency management.
In our meeting, we discussed the narrow banding project, which is moving along. Been a couple of rough spots, but for the most part, I think we're getting along all right there. The NIMS training is coming up here on March 13th in Wymore at the community center at 7 o'clock, and want to make sure that anybody that doesn't have that training already on this board, I think, definitely needs to try and make time to have that training, because it is important in some of the operations we deal with. So that was the main things that came out of that discussion that night. So
equalization, probably nothing until we get closer to later on. Finance.
Just basically, we have the budget coming up, and welcome Terry's insight. He's new to finance committee, so. We're starting to get some of the Parks and Recreations grant applications in, and then in conjunction with Road and Bridge, trying to put together some package of what we're going to do with the 1 and 6 and how that will go together.
Human resource. No report. Insurance, probably no report either. Law enforcement. We had a meeting with Gus again, and in a little bit what we discussed about was back to what Gary said. A couple weeks ago here, they updated all of the pagers and all the handheld things and everything, and they found out they had some issues with some of those, and Gus brought those to us, and they had to order some new equipment for that. They knew going into this process that there would be unexpected things come out of it, and sure enough, there was, and part of that, and some of it was for safety that we definitely need to. One of the other things we did, again, I know at previous other times in different committees or whatever, we talked about different buildings we need more for storage or whatever and stuff. Gus and Mark, I think Mark was there a little bit too. No, yeah, talked about another building here in the county that maybe looking at, and talked about if we just consolidate this group or that group with it and the possibilities, and they're going to find out more information about that again and get back to us. And then Gus just said the new door was in over here at the Sheriff's Department, so looks a lot better.
It does.
So,
thank you.
Road and Bridge.
Okay, Mark was here earlier and covered a lot of the items in the discussion we had on committee report. But one of the main items was the NRD is planning on running a rural water line south of Wymore, basically. So we talked about permits, if they could be combined as one, or separate permits going underneath the roads and easements on that. That's coming up this spring. Well, of course, a discussion on the 1 and 6 year road plan. March 15th at 7 o'clock at the Extension office is the Township Association meeting. That's when everybody from all the township officials gather and complain. No. And
I didn't say that.
And then Galen is we're down a mechanic, so he's in the process of looking to hire another mechanic. So basically, that's about it on that part.
And the March 15th for the ones not on the road and bridge too. That everybody normally, all the county board people are invited to that meeting
because they're advertised as
right. But just so you put it on your calendar, March 15th.
And what time is it?
Seven.
Okay. Yeah, Roger too. Rex, not Rex.
Can I give just an update on the meeting I had with the chief elected
official
board out? And 2 weeks ago, I left early and went to the first meeting of the chief elected officials board in with regard to Nebraska workforce investment, a local area, and I'm the representative, one of the representatives from Region 4. And it was quite an education. I have a packet of information that was an inch thick, and I kind of wish they'd have sent it out ahead of time so I could have at least read it. So you sit there and you start to, as a first meeting, start to digest this information. The very last thing on the agenda was rather interesting, though, and caused quite a bit of conversation. And I don't want to, there shouldn't be any cause for any immediate concern, but one of the things that the state wants us to consider as a board is potentially redrawing the boundary lines. Right now, Region 4, there's Greater Nebraska, that has five regions, and we're Region 4 there. There's Greater Omaha, and there's Greater Lincoln or Lancaster. And they're looking at the idea of redistricting the lines with community college boundaries. The concern with that is that we would be absorbed into the Lancaster, Greater Lancaster. And the information that I had at the meeting is that Greater Nebraska serves more people and does it cheaper. So my concern would be, how long would our existence of our one-stop center locally be here through workforce development? Again, it's just discussion. They're wanting to know how that would take place. You know, we go all the way down. If you look at the purple area here, Richardson County, all the way down, where would those people continue to be serviced? So it's a discussion that immediately rose some concerns of the further erosion of rural access to service. And with respect to the folks in Lancaster, they don't service as many people, and they don't do it as cheaply as Greater Nebraska does. So we had a great discussion. All the other five regions were represented, and there was we're going to have an additional meeting to discuss just that topic. Spoke with Pam Lancaster out at NACO as well, and we just need to think through this. And our initial proposal was to keep the boundary lines as they are, and that we would, you know, meet and consider and see if there was any merit in having those be considered to be redrawn. Last week I did go out to the workforce development here at the One Stop, and that's really a local jewel that I think we need to promote a little bit more with regard to displaced workers. There's re-education there. There's youth and adult services out there as well for education. They work very well with the college, and so that's one thing that, you know, they're almost the furthest location west of Beatrice where they're at there, and that's a huge resource. And they've had some turnover with regard to the Department of Labor consolidating with NDED. There's some discussion the DOL doesn't any longer want to be the service provider for the Greater Nebraska Workforce Investment Program. So it's kind of in flux. I won't say turmoil, but it's in flux. So anyway, first meeting, a lot of information. Kind of my representation in district Region 4 at this point would be to keep the boundary lines the same, because we're doing it cheaper and we're serving more people. So if you get an opportunity to go out or call the one-stop center to workforce development, and that ties in directly with what we're trying to do here in southeast Nebraska and specifically Gage County with economic development, there's a resource there for displaced workers that need to be re-educated and potentially learn a new skill. So good partner out there. They've mentioned wanting to be engaged in economic development as well. And so information, I'll keep you updated.
That's all on the list, but not last week ago, Thursday, we had RC&D meeting over in Tecumseh. And I know the Beatrice Daily Sun, this past week, they also had on an article about the wind wind company or the wind project going over there. And basically the reason I bring it up is because it's going to all be in Johnson County, but the map, what they have is it will come right up to the county line over here on our east side or whatever. They are looking at doing approximately 35 turbines, and then they went through and how many people they'd have and all that. They updated the RC&D over there, and they basically wanted a letter of recommendation from the RC&D. The Tecumseh Chieftain's been running articles on this here. It looks like, sitting here today, that this is probably a project that they're definitely going to go forward with. I know they have some open public meetings as far as the zoning and everything over in Tecumseh coming up in the next month or so, and the county board, it's been presented before them. And sometime they'll have a public hearing, too, and seeing about bringing the project forward. But it's developed far enough along that, according to the studies of the wind volume, and the project with the people, that right now today, that they're definitely moving forward with this project. But that will be quite an economic benefit to that area over there, at least by some of the numbers that they're throwing out preliminary. So any more committee reports? Anything else for the good of the order?
Well, I guess in the last month, I'm chairman of the Region 5 Systems Board and the Region 5 Services Boards, and we have met both of those groups in Lincoln, responsible for, again, the region, a number of counties. Blue Valley Community Action Board that I head of, their Human Resources Committee, we had our meeting last night in Wilbur, and Hope Crisis, I'm vice chairman of that board, and Public Health Solutions, vice chairman of that board. We've had meetings within the past month. And I think I'm seeing everywhere, of course, the economy having a tremendous amount to do with that. But Beatrice and Gage County is a huge, we have huge numbers of individuals that need services and have issues that need to be dealt with by all of these organizations, whether it's individuals with disabilities, whether it's individuals with mental illness, whether it is domestic assault, whether it is public health. And these are things we need to remember as far as our obligations to these groups relative to how much they're doing for the people of citizens of Gage County, but most of it's being paid for by the other counties within that area. And so we just constantly do have those meetings. I know every other member of the board has those too. It's not just a matter of coming here for a couple of hours, and we all spend hours and hours and days at those meetings besides what we do here. And just wanted to give you a little report on what we're doing.
Anything else? If not, we call the meeting adjourned at 10:40.